Good morning, His Tabernacle family. I got like three people respond. Good morning, His Tabernacle family. We are excited to be in the house of God this morning. We want to welcome you to stand as we get ready to enter into this time of worship. Feel free to come on towards the front. Father, we thank you. We give you praise for this day that you have made. Father, this morning, there are multiple people in here from different experiences, God, who may have come in with different needs, God, looking for different things from you. And God, I pray this morning that you will meet every need, every person where they are, that you will meet every need, oh God. God, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, whether it be healing, oh God, we know that you are able and you have promised that you will deal exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or even imagine. And so God, this morning we come with our hearts open, lifted up to you to give you praise. We declare that you are King of Kings. We declare that you are Lord of Lords. We declare that you are the everlasting God. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. And I don't know about you, but on this song, I can't stand in one place. So even if you don't have it, try a little bit. Just pick those feet up and move.
Most High God, there is none like you.
All other God,
all other God,
they are the works of man.
They are the works of man.
But you are
the Most High God.
There is none like you. Let's sing that again.
Like you.
All other God.
Mercies forever. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy.
forever. Hallelujah.
Sing it again. You are good.
You are good.
And your mercy's forever.
Hallelujah.
Let's declare his goodness.
You are good.
And your mercy's forever.
Hallelujah.
One more time. You are good.
You are good. And your mercy's forever. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy's forever. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy's forever. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy's forever.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Do me a favor and shake three hands and say, the Lord lifted me. I don't see you. Shake three hands. I don't see you. Shake three hands and say, the Lord lifted you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. We're going to sing an old song. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now put your hands up real high and clap them. Come on. It just simply talks about how God lifted us up out of sin. Here we go.
I was sinking deep in sin.
Let's go.
Heard his very cry from the water.
come.
When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me.
Honor and glory, God,
forever, Lord.
My life.
forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever.
Open up your mouth and let him know how much you love him, how much he means to you. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your name, oh God. You are worthy of all the honor and the glory. We worship you in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, and dwell amongst us this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, it amazes me how much you love us. God, how generous you are, even with our lives. Some of us, Father, all of us, Father, we all need your help. God, we all need your grace. We all need your mercy. Lord, how you long to show up when we begin to worship you. Father, we just want to say we love you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for the honor and privilege of being literally in the presence of God Himself. You are a good God, and you're greatly to be praised. Father, with the fruit of our lips, we are not ashamed to say how much we need you and love you. And this morning, Jesus, thank you for being in this place. Thank you for being in this place. Can you give the King an applause this morning? Come on, let him know. Come on, let him know how much you love him this morning. Come on, you're talking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, let him rumble right out of your belly this morning. Hallelujah. You are awesome, oh God. We declare you as King in this place. High and lifted up, your train fills the temple. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God, we love you. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, why don't you welcome five or six folks on your way back to your chair? Now, listen now. Don't be a snob and just sit down. Go shake someone's hand that you don't know and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Come on, don't be a snob. Shake some hands. If you're in seventh grade to ninth grade, we have a special class for you today. Make sure you make your way right back to the Pastor Cody is back there. Make your way out to the left side, your right side. Your grades 7 through 9. We have a special class for you. Make your way out.
Okay, go meet somebody else. Go find one more person that you don't know and shake their hand. Come on, just one more person. One more person. Come on, don't be a snob. Find one more person. Marge, go find somebody. Zachary, go find somebody. Go shake one more person you don't know. Two, one.
If you haven't already signed up for step one, make sure you register today. And if you've already been through step one in Rock Solid Faith, make sure you sign up for step two and get registered today. You can go online at histabernacle.com or come right here in the foyer and sign up at the hub. Make sure you sign up for next steps, get registered, and start growing.
Here at His Tabernacle, we appreciate our volunteers. And to show our appreciation, we are hosting a breakfast for our volunteers, February 25th at 9 a.m. See your ministry leader for more details.
His Tabernacle, I am back again. You have a talent? Dancing, singing, acting, sound or audio visual. Listen, if you have these talents, I want you to meet us here on February 25th at 10 a.m. For more information on how to prepare yourself, hit me at Pastor Johnson at histabernacle.com.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. I said, good morning, His Tabernacle. We know many folks are staying home. You're watching by live stream right now. We want to say we love you. And I believe, I don't know how many were in first service, but the last time we had snow, we had over, I think it was 85 computers online for the first service alone. Or was it 100? I don't know. It's a lot of folk. And so we want to welcome all those that are on live stream. We love you. Thank you for being here. You're part of our family. My wife and I would like to say it's so good to be back from Mexico. What a great trip. Success in every facet. And all the way from Mexico, Pastor Patricio and his beautiful wife, Claudia. I try to say Claudia, but it's Claudia. Want us to say welcome. They love you. The whole congregation down there loves you. And my wife just wants to share some of the success that we had.
There we go. It was me. It wasn't them. It's the user, not them. We just had such breakthrough this time down in Mexico. Much like this area, the pastors down there really don't connect and do anything together. There's a lot of competition and jealousy. And so this time, we had our pastor down there send out an invitation to get us prepared for the crusade with Tiff Shuttlesworth in October, inviting all the churches to come together. And on that Saturday morning, we were serving them breakfast, and the pastor came to us and said, you know, I don't know how many are actually going to come, but we sent the invitations out, and we made history. We had 13 churches show up to participate. Their walls came down. There was such a spirit of unity in the house, and everybody excited to run with the vision for souls in this crusade in October. So it was just really an incredible and powerful time with the pastors down there.
And we want to invite you in October. We'll be going down the latter part of October to go down for this revival, this crusade. It's a citywide crusade. In fact, while we were there in that meeting, one of the pastors that came said, listen, I have connections to the brand new convention center, and that will give us one more day. So it's actually
half the price.
Half the price. Amen? So isn't that exciting? So we were able to go in. We're going to reserve with Brother Tiff. I think Brother Tiff is handling the majority financially of the entire thing. He's putting in himself $10,000 for this crusade down in Campeche. And I don't know about you, that's a lot of money. And he's doing that because he believes in souls. Amen? And we're His Tabernacle. We believe in souls. So we're going to go down there. And what was really exciting, we tried to teach the pastors that if only two, now everybody in their congregation is going to invite seven, but if two people get saved out of the seven, every congregation will triple. Isn't that amazing? So then we started talking to them about what are you going to do if your church triples? Some of them are over 1,000 people already. What are they going to do when you get 3,000 souls? What are you going to do when you get 300 souls? Some of them are small. What are you going to do when you get 50 souls?
So we've commissioned them that they might need to, from now until October, they might need to build additions on their building. They have to be prepared to house the souls that are coming in. And it was just such great excitement from all of them to be able to participate. And it was a great response of unity. And that's where the commanded blessing is.
So if you want to go on this missions trip, you need to sign up. We're going to have all the information. It'll be inexpensive. Normal missions trips are thousands and thousands. I believe this is going to be like $1,500, $1,600. That includes your airfare, your hotel, your food, the whole thing. It's really inexpensive. And it's going to be just a phenomenal experience being able to go out on the streets, inviting people who don't speak the same language.
Practice everybody, your Spanish.
Everybody said, I love Google Translate. Amen. If you love Google Translate, you'll know what I mean. So it's going to be a great time. I encourage you to sign up for that. You'll be blessed and you'll grow as a believer.
Amen. So today after second service, we will have our annual business meeting. So please stay. We have exciting things to let you know in that. And there's also the opportunity to partner with Uproar Youth out in the hub today. If you have not already partnered, it's only $20 a month to be able to make such a great impact on the young people. Our goal is to have 200 people that will give $20 or more a month to support, so we don't have to do fundraisers. Just every year it's going to happen because of your generosity. So before you leave the building today, go out to the hub, sign up, and participate with that. Oh, I can see that I'm supposed to be greeting the guest in the house today. Thank you, Pastor Dan. If you are new and a guest in our house today, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. We know God is going to change your life. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you won't leave the same way that you came into this house. I promise you, with the word of God that's spoken today, you're going to leave differently. And if you're watching via live stream, we welcome you today. We understand that the weather is nasty out there. So thank you for joining us on live stream and welcome. You will be changed right where you're at. Were there any other announcements that I... Oh, wow. There is too much on this plate today. If you're a guest in the house, we have a gift for you. So if you'd please raise your hand, we'd love to bring it. Thank you. Welcome. Just raise your hand up. We're not going to embarrass you. We have a gift. Yes, there's people pointing at people. If you brought someone, feel free to point at them. Wow, there's a lot more guests than raise their hands when we point at you. Welcome, welcome. We have a gift for you. And after the service, we have a guest reception. We would love to personally meet you. So Pastor and I will be in the side room after service. And come on over there if you're a guest in the house today. Thank you so much. Rock Solid Faith graduation that was supposed to be tonight is postponed. Because we're being respectful of our guest and the prophet that was coming in, not having to travel down here. So that is postponed for tonight. That is important for you to know. Whew, that was a lot. Okay. Tithes and offerings. How about if we get to that? So let's just read the word of God. Isaiah 48. In Isaiah 48, it says, "The Lord will teach you to profit." I love that the Lord, his word, teaches us to profit. And in Romans 5:5, it says, "Such hope, faith in God, never disappoints, deludes, or shames us." When we have hope that the Lord will teach us to profit and we obey his teaching, we will never be disappointed. We will never be shamed. When we choose to make our finances holy, our 10% to the Lord, then we are blessed. Whatever we ask, we shall receive, and he will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. God will not disappoint us. When we choose to tithe and sow, Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe this will be something different for you. In order to get a different result, you need to do something different. Maybe you've never learned to profit from the Lord's word and his teaching. Do something different than you've ever done before. And maybe today you've never tithed. I challenge you. I encourage you. Tithe. Get in God's economy. And sow above your tithes and offerings so you can never outgive God. We watched this pastor down in Mexico. He gives everything. He gives the shirt off his back. He's given everything. And because of it, he cannot outgive God. He keeps getting favor and favor and favor. That's what happens when you tithe and you sow into God's kingdom. Now, there's seed envelopes that the ushers will pass down the aisles for you this morning. We've talked about giving our seed. We have some huge events coming up. We have Empowering Pastors Summit, which we are so excited about. Our church family here, you can register today out at the hub for 60% off. We want to encourage all of you to come. We're bringing Bishop Thomas in, who is just supernaturally anointed with finances. And whenever somebody is blessed in their finances, I want to learn from them. I want to learn from what they've done. And we're bringing in pastors from all over the place that they too can learn. One of the biggest things most churches need are finances and faith for finances. So we're going to bring these pastors in. We're going to bless them. We're going to encourage them. They are going to get impartation. This is a powerful event to sow into. And that one alone cost about $20,000. So you're sowing into good ground. Just like in Campeche, in one day, we were able to work with 14 different churches and further the kingdom of God. And that is just like a ripple effect that's going to continue and continue and continue. That's what your seed does. It continues and continues and continues. And then we have Uproar. We have Rock the City. We have so many different things going on this year. We're believing God for $90,000 in the next few weeks so that we don't even have to think about the costs for all of those things, that we can just be a blessing to our community, to the pastors and their community. So today, I challenge you to tithe, but not only tithe, to sow a seed and watch what God will do on your behalf. He never disappoints. God never disappoints. All you tithers out there, let me hear you say, God never disappoints. Maybe I believe you. Let me hear the tithers in the house say that again. Oh, you got some help from Pastor Johnson. That's awesome. Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God in Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, oh, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I am blessed in my storehouse.
I am blessed in my storehouse.
And I am blessed in my basket.
I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us. Just because you got stuck home, you can, if they can put up on the screen the text to give information, or you can click on the giving button and you can give right along with us. There's the information on the screen right now. Go ahead and text to give this morning.
They are the works of man. You are the Most High God. There is none like you.
All of the God.
All of the God.
They are the works of man.
They are the works of man. You are the Most High God. There is none like you.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High. You are the Most High God. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High. You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High. You are High. You are the Most High God.
Amen. I don't know how you can't move a body part. My goodness, you got to move a body part with that song. Amen. You got to move something. I'm from New England, and they're stoic up in the North Country. But let me tell you, when you hear that song, you got to move. My wife has moved because she wants to be on the good side of God. Amen. Today, we're going to be continuing with the message that we started 2 weeks ago. The reason that we're continuing it is because there's one thing to hear a word. It's another thing to understand a word. There are certain things that you've got to understand. Why do you have to understand them? Because if you don't, then it's just something going in your ears. And God wants you to know this principle. God wants you to live this principle. Turn to someone and say, I've got to know this principle. The message is your God generous or is your God poor? Is your God generous or is your God poor? Your perception of who God is, your perception and how you interact with him declares literally whether you believe he's a poor God or the generous God. How many of you would rather serve the generous God? Amen. But there's one thing about saying you want and another thing about doing it. And today I just want to continue to bring this message home. Why? Because I believe that you've got to not only hear it, but you've got to understand it. Our verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And it says this, the generous soul will be made rich. Turn to someone and say, I'm generous. Come on, turn to somebody else and say, I'm generous. The generous soul shall be made rich. This isn't rich in soul. This is rich in pocket. Turn to someone and say, God wants you blessed. Now, somebody said to me, well, you know, I just really, Pastor, I don't want to be really rich. I just want just barely enough to make my bills. You'll never find somebody more stingy than a person who just wants God to help them make their bills. Why is that? Because if you only have enough for yourself, how can you ever be a blessing to anybody else? God has called us to be a blessing to people. God has called us to show his nature. And our God is a generous God, not a poverty, poor, stingy God. The challenge with believers is this, is that whether you say you believe God is generous or not, how you pray, how you live, how you declare the word, literally has determined not just your words. So we've got to learn how to live in the generosity of God, not just say we believe in the generous God. There's a lifestyle that God has for you that's abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. That means your greatest dream, your greatest vision, God said above that, more than you can ask or even think or even imagine, I have blessing for you because he is a generous God. But many of us live what we call Christian survival. We are survivalists. Well, I'm just believing that soon, you know, everything is so bad that the trumpet of God will sound. Oh, I just need the trumpet. The Lord just needs to deliver me. My life is so bad. This is where many believers are. And ultimately what you're saying is, this is the God that I serve. He is unable to meet my needs. He's unable to give me victory. He's unable to sustain me. He's unable to help me walk straight and live powerful. And this is where, as believers, we have to have a shift. We have to have a shift. Turn to someone and say, you need a shift. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is a powerful verse, and it says this. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I want to show you this. I've had people come to me more than I want to count and have said to me, oh, You're one of those hyper faith churches. And I said, well, of course. Would you rather be a hyper faith and faith pleases God or a hyper doubt? You see, we have a choice. If we're going to be a hyper doubt church, then we're going to be just in survival mode of living and hoping God gets us out of here as soon as we can and survive. But if we are people, what's that, sir? Yeah, I know you do. But if you are going to be people that are going to believe who God truly is, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's nothing that he doesn't have. There's nothing that he doesn't possess. And there's nothing that he doesn't want to give. He is a generous, supernatural King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he loves his babies. You see, if we know him, we believe in him, then we're going to have faith and trust that whatever he says in his word is yea and amen. Amen. So like you're not. Now, sadly enough, many of us really do honestly believe we speak him. We speak the God of the Bible. But we live the God of poverty, the God of religion, the God of existence. And until this shift happens in your own spirit, until you and I have a revelation from the Holy Ghost, until you and I have a shift in our mindset, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, then we're never going to accelerate in God's promises that are yea and amen. We're never going to step into the blessing of God to where he pours out his spirit in such a manner that the world says, I want to serve the God that you serve. See, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. That was what we posed 2 weeks ago. Remember he said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? They gave a bunch of, some say you're this prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say. But then he looked at Peter and he asked him this question, but who do you say that I am? You see, because who you and I say that he is the one that generates the perception of how we pray, how we believe, how we live in our walk with God. You see, how you perceive God is how you interact with God. It's how you talk with God. It's how you're going to live successful or live in great travesty and that survival lifestyle that many believers are in. But I'm here to tell you today that your God is a great God, that your God is a powerful God, that your God and who he is, and there is only one true God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who said, I am that I am. He is here today, and he loves you with an everlasting love, and he is a God of generosity, not a God of poverty. Until this shift happens in our life, then we walk around with this religious cow thinking that you're more spiritual because you got less. Strangely enough, wealthy people are very much treated in a very strong, prejudiced manner. You have prosperity. Well, you know, you should give it all up. Now, Jesus spoke that to that young man because he loved money more than he loved God. The money has never been a sin in the Bible. The Bible says that money answers all things. So it's the love of money that is the issue. So many of us grab a hold or gravitate to poverty mentality, to a poverty spirit, because we've been taught, whether it's because of our mother and our father, whether it's because of the church we grew up in, that you're more spiritual if you have less. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how much you have, because you can be a billionaire and go to heaven, or you can live in a shack and go to hell. It's the condition of your heart that matters to God. Can I hear an amen? So as a believer, we've got to come back to saying that God, he said this, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. This is his very nature. Now, you see, two people can experience the same thing. One of the things about being a pastor that I found that is a challenge. Now, I've been doing it almost 30 years, is I have found this, that you can come to the same service, hear the same message, One walks out with, wow, that changed my life. Now, I got a testimony on first service. An 11-year-old child walked out with his grandparents and looked at the grandparents as they're getting in the car and said, that message changed my life. An 11-year-old. But yet there will be people that are in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s and the people in their 30s and their 40s and their 20s that will never allow God's word to permeate their heart. See, this is the necessity that we have as we're sitting in the presence of the Lord. It's not just that we've come to church and we've done our little religious thing, but the word of God is being preached. That is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents, the very perceptions of the heart. And God wants to change our perception, to stop believing in the poverty mentality, the poverty religion, and get back to what the Bible starts talking about, that God wants you to be prosperous and everything that you do because he's simply generous. Now I want to show you this powerful. Moses, with 2.5 million people, went to the Red Sea. Here they stand at the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the children of God are starting to complain. God opens the Red Sea. So you can imagine this. The sea literally rolls back and God dries the ground. Moses walks through, the children of Israel walk through on dry ground. They get to the other side, and the Egyptian army starts to rush through, and all of a sudden, the collapse of the water drowns the entire Egyptian army right in front of the 2.5 million people and Moses. Now, I want you to see this, that there was a shift with perception. Moses got the revelation that God was able to deliver them in any situation. In fact, Joshua and Caleb got that revelation as well at that very moment. But watch what happened. The 2.5 million people, when it came time for the next travesty or the next trouble that came in their life when the water was bitter and not sweet, instead of saying, my God delivered me in the Red Sea, my God drowned the entire Egyptian army in the Red Sea, we walked across on dry ground, they went back to their poverty mentality and said, I'd rather be eating cabbage in Egypt. The shift in our mind, the shift in our spirit is imperative because it literally determines how you are going to receive from God. And many believers are in that simple survival mentality to where they're just hoping that God is going to come back as quickly as possible. Well, listen, I want Jesus to come back quickly too. But before he comes back, I want to see as many souls saved as possible. Can I hear an amen? I want your moms and your dads and your brothers and your sisters and your coworkers, your children. I want people to be saved all over the place. And if he comes today, I'm excited that he cracks the eastern sky. The trumpet of God will sound. But if he doesn't, then I'm going to live as if God is coming today and the next minute, and I'm going to live in a prosperous manner where God will show himself powerful through his sons and his daughters on this planet, that we will be the literal magnet to the people of the world. See, without faith, no man pleases God. The truth is, you and I are exercising faith all the time. You're sitting in a chair. Did you sit down and go, boy, I hope it holds me? No, you just sat down. You had faith. Bible says every man's been given a measure of faith. And when you got saved, you had the faith. For without faith, you can't even be saved. So you exercise faith to be born again. But something happens after that. And it all deals with perception. You perceived you could be saved with a confession of your mouth. You perceive the blood of Jesus would wash your sins away, that you'd be made a whole person. But then many believers, because of the experiences of their life, the religion they grew up with, their mother and father who were stingy, when they start talking to God after that, they go back away from the word of God and go back into that survival process to where they pray to this God, the God of poverty, hoping, man, I hope something works. I hope something happens. I'm in problems at work. I hope God will work for me. I hope God will show up. But you see, God can't take care of himself. How's he going to take care of you? Watch. Whether you like it or not, if that's how you're praying, that's where you're releasing your faith. Where you release your faith is what you receive. So if you're releasing your faith to the poverty mentality of a God, then that's the most you're ever going to get. But if you see your God for who he truly is, who said, let there be and there was. He was from everlasting to everlasting. Everything that is here, he has created with the words of his mouth. That heaven itself is full access through the blood of Jesus for every single believer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in heaven. That means whatever God the Father has here in heaven, I'm talking right now, right in your life, right where you're sitting. Whatever God has in heaven, he said that you're an heir of God and you're a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Whatever God has in heaven, he says, I'm making available to you because of the Son, the blood that was perished, because of Jesus that died and rose from the dead. Whatever Christ has, because he became a curse for us, that we don't have to carry the curse. So now we can go to the Father boldly, outspokenly, and we can bring our petitions to him, and by the prayer of faith, you'll see heaven unlocked in your life. Isn't it simple? Look it, unlimited. You know what's amazing? Some of us waste so much time praying because we have such poverty mentality. You ever read the book of Matthew where it says, don't pray about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, or where you're going to sleep? Don't the birds of the air do all of that? Don't they have everything? Your Father takes care of them? Isn't it amazing to realize that he told us not even to pray for those things because how much more he loves us over a bird? But yet, we go to God and we start scrambling for help. Because our mindset is in survival rather than being more than an overcomer. Our mindset is in poverty, scraping by, rather than generosity, having more than enough. And whether you like it or not, what you believe is where you put your faith in your prayer life. Oh, Pastor, I just know God loves some people more than me. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I'm sorry. I don't know where it went. It just got there.
That was the Beatles.
Sorry. But this is what's happened in the church world. And listen, this is not a God thing. This is a religious thing. You won't find Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You won't find David, you won't find Solomon, you won't find any of the patriarchs thinking the way the church does today. You don't want to miss next week. I'm going to take the biggest religious cow that's running around the church and we're going to slaughter her right here on the altar. You see, until we have this shift, then we do not ever live successful before the Lord. Well, now, what is success? Success is obeying God, doing his will. Is it God's will that you scrape by? Is it God's will that you barely survive? Did Jesus pay for your sin? Did Jesus pay for your sickness? Did Jesus pay for your diseases? Did Jesus pay for poverty? So why are you trying to pay it all over again? Ooh. Because you don't believe he's prosperous. This is the God you pray to because this is how you see him. You see, perception might not be true at all. Because whether you pray to the God of poverty or you pray to the God of generosity, the fact is still the fact that God's word is truth. And who God says he is who he is. And he is the God of blessing. He is the God of generosity. He is the God of blessing his people, not the God of poverty.
He's preaching today. Oh, man.
You see, this is my challenge as a pastor because I have found that so many people would rather live the life of poverty and they'd rather live in a life of survival than live the life of overcoming. And some of you proved this because you posted on Facebook. Some of you should not be on Facebook. I'm going to say it again. Well, you know, could anything else go wrong today? My life is horrible today. Shut up. I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. God can make all things work together for good to those who love him. When you start saying those things, you're actually declaring and decreeing the God you actually believe in.
I don't know. I can't help you. You put me here.
The Bible says, not only do we have to believe that he is, but to believe that he's a rewarder. Do you know what the word reward there means? A paying of wages. Do you realize that when you exercise your faith in who he truly is, that there's an automatic wage that will be dispensed from heaven? That when you exercise faith, faith is the currency of heaven. God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by your faith. That's why it says without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is trust. I believe without any question that if God says it in his word, that I have it available to me. Why do I have that? Because God made the accessibility of heaven available. How do I know that? Because Jesus taught us how to pray. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is the very nature of our Father. This is the very nature of heaven. That if you ask, if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father knows how to bless you. It's time to have a transition. It's time to have a supernatural revelation. It's time to have an apocalypse. It's time for God to bring our revealing in your own heart about how we pray and live for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. The Bible says, James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Isaiah 59, verse 1, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor his ear too deaf to hear your call. It's time to put our faith back in the true God, the God who not only wants to deliver you, but has all the power to deliver you. Do you realize some of us should have been dead a long time ago? How many times has God saved us when we didn't even know we were about to die? That's generous. He owes us nothing. True generosity is giving what is not expected, that is above required. God's generous love for you and I is so powerful, but yet we live this life of, well, you know, I hope God hears me. Well, I hope God hears my prayer. Well, I hope God helps me. Well, you know, I can't just seem to make it. Listen, I don't ever want to hear that out of your mouth. Why? Because if you can't make it, it means you don't know God. Because if you know God, you know that he's able to deliver you from every situation in your life. A lot of people know a lot about God, but they don't know God. They've heard a lot of sermons, but they've never had the revelation of John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. The word know there does not mean know about. The Bible says that even the demons believe in God and tremble. So it's not a strange thing that people believe in God. But what the change is when you know God. When you know his nature. When you know his character, when you know his personality, when you know how he deals with you, you know even how he corrects you. All of that is wrapped up in the knowing of God. And when you know God, I'm talking you really know God. You know that Father God will do anything that's within the power of heaven. And that is a lot of power. Can I hear an amen? Anything in the power of heaven to do what? To make you successful. Because you're his kid. How many of you parents want your kids to be successful? How many of you don't? It's an easier question. Every parent wants their child to excel. Every parent wants their child healthy. Every parent wants their child to live a blessed life. Every child wants them to accelerate even beyond where they are. Yet we look at our Father in heaven and we see him as this ogre with a big hammer waiting to bash us in the head and throw us to hell. Listen, I'm not saying the wages of sin isn't death. The wages of sin are death. But when you accept Jesus Christ, you go from death to life. And you live a life that God has given you before you ever formed in your mother's womb. He has a plan for you. You see, this is the powerful part about the nature of our Father. I love this. You see, our God is generous with his love. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. You see, your Father in heaven, he's not just sitting up there and going, hey, I hope you make it. He's saying, I love you even with your mess. Amen. How many here got a mess? How many here are perfect?
Well, see the people.
Amen. Now you got a mess. Hallelujah. Your girlfriend must have told you that. Hallelujah. My wife told me that once, and then she realized she got married. God loves you in your mess. He said, with an unfailing love. What do you mean unfailing? Unfailing means it can't fail.
Yes, amen.
That's generous. How many of you have been unlovely to God before? How many of you really should have been spit out a long time ago?
All right. Being honest now.
But you see, some of you see God in this man. And so every time you sin, you're just waiting for that hammer. You're waiting for him to throw you out. You're saying, I can't forgive me. I've screwed up so many different times. And I want you to know that God isn't excited about your screw-ups. But I want to tell you what God is excited about. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Your God is unfailing in his love. He is generous in his love. He loves you. I said, God loves you. No. I said, God loves you. Even in your mess, even with your problems, God loves you. God believes in you. He's for you, not against you. He's got great plans for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded. That means without a question. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The generous love of our Father. He's just waiting for you. He's waiting to enthrall you. He's waiting to call you. He's waiting to bless you. He's even waiting to spank you. He just loves you so much. He wants to see you come to the place where you live this life of blessing and not cursing. It's time to have a revelation of who your daddy is. He is a generous God with generous love, a generous passion just for you. God is generous in his healing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his own body. That means every sickness and every disease that's on this planet, he put on himself. He took every one of them on himself. He took every disease on himself. Diabetes, he took every kind of cancer. He took every kind of tumor. He took every kind of arthritis. He took every kind of organ problem. He took every kind of blood problem. He took every kind of bone problem. He took every kind of skin problem. Every kind of ear problem, every kind of eye problem. He took every problem and he put it on himself. By whose stripes you were healed. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had that were sick and various diseases were brought to Jesus. And he laid his hands on them. And every one of them were healed. Hallelujah. Not a few of them, but he's generous. He's not keeping it to one and throwing away another. He is not one that loves somebody more than anybody else. Oh, pastor, the Lord loves you more. That is a lie from hell. God cannot love one of us more than he loves all of us. Can I hear an amen? God is generous with his wealth, generous with his help. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Psalms 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Everything comes down to who you believe he is. Everything comes down to this.
Okay.
We can use every excuse.
He's it.
Well, your God might be sitting down, but my God's standing. Your God might sleep or slumber, but mine never rests. Can I hear an amen? Your God's hand might be short and his beard needs to be washed, but my God's white as snow, and he's always available for those who call upon the name of the Lord. They shall be saved. I want you to know, too, that God is not Aunt Millie. Aunt Millie.
Aunt Millie. I remember her.
Let me tell you about Aunt Millie. My grandmother's name was Grammy Spencer. She was the best Grammy in the world, man. I'm talking like she, come on, Karina. I mean, she just loved you. You went into the house. The refrigerator was open to you, man. You that candy area. Come on now. My cousin and I. Yeah, that's my aunt's ma. My Grammy Spencer, Elsie Spencer, was the best grandma in the world. And then Aunt Millie would come to visit. Aunt Millie would sit in the rocking chair right near the refrigerator. My grandma always had ice cream. I love salad. Hallelujah. We'd walk over to the refrigerator, open it up, and Aunt Millie would go, "Did you ask?" Now, I don't think she used that voice, but it sure felt like a "Did you ask?" She just mean old woman, man. I don't know if she was mean, but she sure sounded mean, and she was mean, wasn't she? She was a mean old woman. "Did you ask?" And I said, "You know, Grammy, let me..." "Did you ask?" Some of you got God in that picture. Well, you got people that are around you, even believers, in your own house, that every time you step forward to have faith in the true God, the God that's able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. "Did you ask too much? Don't be greedy with God." You need to slap them upside the head in the name of Jesus with the fivefold ministry gifts and let them know that God loves them too. We've got to get back to the place of knowing God. You know, we were in a place of poverty, and we drove around Campeche. Parts of Campeche are very wealthy. In fact, they have better malls than any of us in this area. They have a Spanish section that the houses are $250,000 American, where if you've ever seen Zorro, you ever seen Zorro? When you open, you know, it's got this big wall and it's just a door. You open that door and it opens up into this most beautiful planetarium with, you know, the second floor balconies and a pool in the middle. That's that city. But there's a poor section. And it's amazing to me that the Christians, and I'm not going to throw Pastor Patricio under the bus, but I am. He doesn't prosper, not because he doesn't sow, but because he doesn't want to look prosperous. So he's got a mentality that if he looks like God is blessing him, that it's bad. That's called a poverty spirit. This is what we worked on when we were down there. "Pastor, it's okay to prosper." I said, "You're not poor, are you?" He goes, "Well, you know, I don't really have a lot." That was through the interpreter. And I said, "How many acres you own?" He said, 750. I said, "How many houses you got?" 2. I said, "I don't want to hear nothing that you're poor. Fact is you're playing poor because you don't want the people to know that you're blessed. But you're blessed because you've given away about everything." Yeah. No. He's given away about everything. He put his house up so the church could be built. He's given an amazing amount of... He had over 1,000 goats. Was it sheep or goats? I don't know. Goats taste better than sheep. It was sheep. He gave away 1,000 animals to build. In fact, I'm just going to say it. The last night, he walked over to my wife and he handed her a box. My wife opened the box, and then there is a bracelet. The bracelet is solid gold, 102 diamonds, worth 7,000 American. And he walked over and he said, I want to sow this into your life. That's awesome. But if you're believing this way, even if you sow, you'll never reap a harvest because you're always going to hide it under a bushel.
Yep.
Don't be ashamed that God blesses you. For years we hit everything. Hit the boat, hit the motorcycle, hit the shoes. Hit the belt. Hit it all. Why? Because so many people have a poverty mentality that if you are seen as being blessed, they look down on you in the church. But the people in the world don't want to participate with failure. They want to participate with success. And so why does the church adopt the mentality of religion that says success, blessing, is bad rather than what God says, it's good. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. This all changes everything. Are you a kingdom person? If you're a kingdom, survival is not your life because that's not your home. The Bible says that this is not your home. You're sojourners here. So do you live on these streets? Or do you live on these streets?
Amen.
On earth. In your prayer life. Do you live on these streets? Or do you live on these streets? I'm going to end with this. Miles Monroe gave a phenomenal example. Not too many years ago, there was an earthquake in Haiti that devastated. It killed tens and tens of thousands of people. Miles Monroe went to go to the consulate in, and he's from the Bahamas. I need to qualify. He's from the Bahamas. He's an international preacher. He's home to be with the Lord now. But he went to go represent Christ to the government. So they met him at the airport. The Bahamian government met him at the airport in a limousine. He said that was perfect air conditioning. And they started driving towards the Bahamian the consulate. He said, as we're driving, we see people that are living in the streets, hand to mouth. We see people that are their defecation is running right down the side of the roads. And then he drives into the consulate and it opens up. He said, it's the most beautiful place. He said, I walked in and it is elegant. He said, there was a butler here and a butler there and they asked what I wanted to eat and they brought me to my room and it was a beautiful stately room. And he said, you know, his traveling buddy, they gave him a stately room. And then he went down as he looked out and he saw the city and it was still desolate, but he looked down and there was a beautiful pool that was perfectly colored. And he said to the man in government, he says, don't you feel guilty? Don't you feel guilty living in such a posh environment when just outside the gates they're starving? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I'm not from there. I'm from the Bahamas. And you're right now standing on Bahamian land. no matter where you live, no matter what state you're in, where is your home? They live the way they did, not out of pride. They live the way they did because they were part of the Bahamian government on Bahamian land in the middle of Haiti. We live on this earth, but this is not our home. We live on this planet, but we are part of the kingdom of God. We live on this earth, but we are not governed by this earth. It's time to recognize that this is my home, and my Father in heaven has everything available for me to grab a hold of, for calling those things which are not as though they already are, to activate my faith, to integrate the power of heaven on this planet. We have a choice, and it comes down to believing. Really, there's nothing different. It all comes down to one thing. Do you believe in this God? Or do you believe in this God? That's not God's choice, because he can't change. That's your choice in where you choose to put your faith. I choose to trust the good God, not the stingy poor God. I choose to serve the generous God, because this is who he is. Whether anybody knows him or not, that is who he is, because that's who the Word says he is. Who do you serve today? Are you in survival mode? Are you in more than a conqueror mode? Are you just barely making it by? And I'm not even talking money, because poverty has nothing to do with money. Has to do with here, your perceptions. How do you live? How do you pray? How do you believe? All is determined on the God that you serve. You'll still go to heaven serving him, but you're going to live hell on earth. Or you can serve the God that says, my hand's not too short. Amen. My ear is not deaf. Amen. I can do all things. Yes. There's nothing impossible for me. Amen. I choose to serve him. Yes. Can I hear an amen?
Yes. Amen.
Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that you are a faithful God. I thank you, Father God, that you are generous with your love, that you are generous with the blood of your Son, that you are generous, oh God, with the healing power from heaven. I thank you, Father, that you are generous to heal, to hear us and to move on our behalf. I thank you, God, that there is nothing impossible if we only believe. Father, I need you to do something. I've preached your word. I didn't preach the word of a man. I didn't preach the word of a religion. I preached your word. I showed your nature. I showed your character. And I thank you for the opportunity, Father God. But Holy Spirit, you are the only one that can bring revelation. You are the only one that can bring the illumination of the word in someone's spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll open the mind of the understanding and the eyes of their heart. That God will know you. Jesus, we have so much work to do before you come. There's so much to accomplish, Jesus, before you crack the eastern sky. We look forward to the coming of Christ, but Lord, we want to see more people saved. Lord, there are many in this room that are dealing with struggles and trials and tribulations and so many different areas of their life. And some of them, God, have just given up. They've just said, this is the way it has to be. This is my bed. I must lie in it. I pray, Holy Ghost, you make today's message come alive in their spirit. And they turn to the God of the supernatural. They turn to the God of the kingdom. They turn to the God that loves them so generously, who will deliver them and who will hear them. I pray, God, they'll call upon your name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the number one priority. I'm not talking joining a church or joining a religion. I'm talking being a child of the kingdom of God, being a citizen of heaven. Today, Jesus shed his blood so that you could be clean before the Father. Be a son and a daughter. That's his generous love. So today, if you do not know Christ and you would like to receive him in your heart, I want to pray with you. I know that God will save you from your sin, make you brand new within. Old things being passed away, all things becoming new. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that wants Jesus in their life? I see a young baby over there. Listen, I'm going to let the child come. Amen. Anybody else want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. Way up. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. Bible says, let the little children come to me. I like that. Sometimes kids move quicker than the adults. We're going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything this morning, these folks have been prepared and trained, and they're anointed, and they want God to change your life. They'll move in the power of the anointing. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, come right on over here to Pastor Chad. He'll lay hands on you. Or Brother Randall over here in Jesus' name. They flow powerfully in that, and they'll minister to you in the Spirit. You'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost before you leave the building. Right now, I just want you to know this, that as you leave this place, see how God will change your heart and your mind in your time of prayer. And this week, don't pray small, pray big. Amen? Turn to someone and say, don't pray small, pray big. Father, bless us as we go. Keep us safe in travel in Jesus' name. Lord, as we return next week, let us bring at least one soul who needs you as their Savior for the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget, next week, we're going to kill a good, big, monster religious cow right here on the altar. It is going to be powerful. You don't want to miss it. If you're a guest this morning, we want to shake your hand, meet you. If you'll go right on the other side of the wall, we'll have you at the guest reception room. Annual business meeting will be held in 10 minutes.